Okay. This is an interview with Mr. Sam Ashworth on September the 23rd, 2008, in West Memphis, Arkansas. The interviewer is Simon Hoskin. The interview is part of the Brocero Oral History Project. Sam, tell me first of all, in what year were you born?
1921.
In?
May.
In May, but in Hughes, Arkansas?
Right, in the country.
In the country. Were your family farmers?
Yes.
How big a farming operation did they have?
Back then in 21, we had probably 800 or 900 acres, I think, I'd say.
Really? And what did you farm? What was the crop?
Well, the principal crop back then was cotton.
Mm-hmm.
Cotton, corn, and of course, at that time, you're talking about that time?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was cotton and corn, more or less, at that time. And, you know, that was, you had to have cotton, the farmers that made the cotton had to have some live, and we had to do it with livestock, and so we had to have corn to feed the horses and mules, and raise hogs for meat on the farm, you know, grew all meat.
And as you grew older, born in 21, so you'd have been 19 by 1940, did you take on the farming operation yourself, or
yeah,
did you go off to, into
did.
The military with the war?
I did. I was on my way to the war, and it kind of slowed down a little bit, and I got to set back for a month or two, and then at that time got a little better, and they helped up through, you know, till things got to looking still better. I didn't have anybody but my mother to take the farm, you know, along mm-hmm. if something happened to me. But anyway, thank goodness I didn't have to go, and we made it, and was able to continue farming.
And didn't you have brothers or sisters?
Pardon?
Did you have brothers, or you didn't have brothers
no,
or sisters, so it was just you?
I didn't have any brothers or sisters.
Okay, the farm was about 900 acres. Did you grow the farm? Did you expand at all, or did you try and keep it at about that level?
Well, when my father bought it, I was about pretty close to that much acreage, and he bought it. He came from Tennessee here and bought the farm, and then as he passed away, well, of course I stepped in. Mother kept it going between times and made a go of it so far.
How did you manage for labor on the farm? Did you have sharecroppers or tenants?
Yeah, we had both. We had mostly sharecroppers back at that time because, you know, people back then had to have some means of making a living.
Right.
And if it's in the country, they had to be on the farm. And, you know, they could, most people then that lived on the farm would raise their own gardens and their livestock, you know, to have some cattle and hogs.
How much land would they have of their own?
Well, according to the size of the family. If you had a man and his wife, we said 15 acres of cotton.
Okay.
That was kind of a rule of thumb that we'd go by, and the more it had in family, because they had to harvest it by hand, say, by Coast Day, and that would be about all they could harvest, a man and his wife. So
if they had children, would they get more land, or?
Yeah, they could give them more crop land.
Okay. Were they mostly black, or was it black and white?
Well, back then it was mixed, but there was a lot. black people here then, at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but there were still a lot of white people too.
There were white people, yeah, as croppers,
right,
and tenants as well.
Yeah.
And as the landowner, would you would furnish them with everything to work the land?
Well, you would start to, the ones that made a crop, sharecroppers, you started to furnish them maybe April or May and give them so much a month, like I said, according to the size of your family. And then you furnish them through till August, and then usually you start picking a little cotton maybe during August and get a little cotton seed money. It we always bid on that cotton seed money. That was about what we had there for a while, you know, was that seed money. And till we got enough out to sell some.
So the Vaquero program was a way for the government was bringing in Mexican migrant workers. Did you employ them? How did you hear about it?
Well, not at that time. We didn't have. Now we started in the 40s having
the Mexicans.
Mm-hmm. We started in the 40s. Because at that time, when the war came along, the blacks, a big lot of the blacks left and went north.
Okay.
And that's when we had to hustle out for some more labor. And that's who filled the place, was migrants.
How did you hear about the migrants coming in? Was it?
Well, we had our government, our local government, you know, knew about it and informed us about it, what was available. You could have so many, so much acreage or whatever. And once you think you could take care of it.
So how many did you employ?
I think maybe one time I might have had 20.
Okay.
But usually I had around 15.
Now, were they on their own, or were they with their families?
No, they were alone. They came directly from Mexico here.
Just okay.
Individually.
And it was all men?
Well, not old men, but they were, you know, a lot of them were young people.
No, man, but did you have women? I'm sorry.
Oh, no, they didn't have, they didn't bring women with them.
Okay.
At that time.
So did you have to provide living accommodation for them?
Yeah, they have a housing farm, and we furnished housing, heat, water, and, you know, helped them in various ways to try to make a living.
So did you put them in like the empty croppers' houses if blacks were moving north? Did you just put them up in those houses?
Not necessarily. We most farms fixed a kind of a bunkhouse deal.
Okay.
Farm, and you know, that's the way most of them were housed.
How much did you pay them?
Well,
that's a leading question, isn't it?
Whatever the of course. Day labor, we paid them whatever was customary at that time.
Okay.
And then mostly we used them more to pick cotton with than we did anything else. And every fall is when we used to bid on them because that was before machinery came.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to have some way to get it out. And they were a good source. They'd work. They wanted to work, wanted to make money. And very few of them, you get one once in a while in a bunch that didn't want to work. And we did, we'd send them back.
You say send them back. did you just fire them, or did you have to go back through the government?
We went back through our system that we had locally. And then, of course, you had to pay a bus fare or whatever. That's where you sent them back on the bus.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
So when they came to you, did you have to pay their transport to you as well?
No, we didn't.
Huh.
The people that hustled the labor was the ones that stood that expense to bring them here.
So you just knew that you were going to get 10 people,
yeah,
and they would just turn up on a day, and you would put them in their accommodation and then put them to work?
Right.
Huh. And did they work alongside, you know, you said your Negro labor, your black labor had started to move north. Did they work alongside those that were left?
Well, some of them would, but not very much. Not very much. They would usually work, picking cotton, well, they'd be separate. They'd be in a field. They wouldn't be by themselves. You know, and would pick cotton and just, you know, till they got wanted to quit, maybe at night, you know, till they got tired, I guess.
How did your, I guess you had some labor that was, you know, fairly permanent with you, either black or white. How did they react to you employing Mexicans?
Well, as far as I know, they did all right. I never did have any problems, I'll put it that way.
Okay. Do you know of anybody having problems, or do you think that would have been?
No.
It worked.
Because that people, that the Mexicans that we had were, you know, they were a kind of a tough situation for them, too. That's the reason they came here. And they associated with them. When they went to town a lot, you know, and sometimes maybe one of them would have a scuffle or fight or something in town, maybe on Saturday night or something, but most of the time everything went smooth.
And you say town, that would have been, they would have gone into Hughes, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Did they have a day off in the week? Was Sunday a day off, or from Saturday?
If they wanted it off, if they wanted it off, they could have.
Otherwise, did they just work 7 days a week?
A lot of them did.
Really?
A lot of them wanted to make that money. Most of them came here to work.
Okay.
You know, they wanted to make what they could make. And of course, every week they'd go to the post office, usually on Saturday, send some money back home. That was just, they did that. And when they got paid, well, they'd go to the post office and send some money home.
Huh. And that would just be the post office in Hughes. Whatever they were going to send, they would send, and the rest, obviously, they would keep for.
Yeah, right.
What did they, even in town, did they keep themselves to themselves? Did they have their own entertainment?
Hell, I guess, because they, you know.
I know it's a difficult question. I'm trying to get a feel for.
Well, they, they seem to be pretty well satisfied because, like I say, most of them, if the weather was pretty, they'd work. It worked.
And just keep working and keep working.
Uh-huh. Sunday didn't make any difference. Well, you know, sometimes they that was the name of the game. Well, most of them to come here and make what they could make, send back home to people.
Did you get the same people year after year?
No, not necessarily. Uh-huh.
Was there anybody that did come back to you regularly?
Once in a while, you'd have some come back. And I that. Why? Because they didn't have much choice, I guess, when they were recruited to, you know, where they were going to go.
Yeah, just told go and that's it.
That's right.
What about the other farms around you? Wasn't Brinkley a big farmer around your way? Did they all employ Mexicans as well?
Mm-hmm. Nearly at that time, nearly all your big farms recruited that type of labor because they had, you know, needed some way to get the cotton out, and that was a good source to do it because they, like I said, they came here to work. Most all of them, like I say, I don't guess over the years that I used them, I don't guess I had over two or three that got kind of sour on the job, you know, and didn't get in there and hustle like they needed to. And most of them ready to go.
What did they do, or what did you do for things like medical care for them? What were your responsibilities?
Well, we needed a doctor. We tried to get them a doctor, or get them to a doctor. We had three or four doctors at that time in Hughes, and you know, we could, one of them was sick, well, we'd take him to town to a doctor. And, you know, that's.
What about if they needed hospital care?
Never did have that trouble.
You never had that problem?
Never did. All of them's, you know, pretty healthy. Biggest problem we'd have would be some kind of stomach virus or something like that on account of the way the food was prepared, and they, you know, that wasn't the best done in the world to be.
They would prepare their own food?
Yeah.
And so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, what about, I've seen some pictures of day labor coming over from Memphis.
Yeah.
Now, did you use day labor from Memphis at all?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Well, we'd get up. I'd use a lot of time. I'd have to get up about 3 o'clock in the morning and go. There was a place right across the bridge as you went into town,
mm-hmm.
that they would accumulate, and they were, especially the ones that collected them had trucks, and would pick them up and bring them out, and then you paid them so much ahead for how many they brought. Or if you pick cotton, you'd pay them so much a pound or so much 100 pounds of cotton to bring them. And they were all, you know, paid pretty good for their trucking them and getting them here.
How did the day labor that you were bringing over feel about the Mexicans that you were employing?
Well, like I say, at that time, a bunch of the blacks had gone north, you know, and by far as I never had any problem.
No problems with?
I didn't have any problem.
So when did you stop using Mexicans?
Whenever a machine you got.
I was gonna say, as you started to recognize. So as you, was it something that you just said, okay, 1 year, that's it, we've stopped, or was it kind of a gradual thing over?
Gradual.
It was a gradual.
Yeah. Biggest our busiest time with them was in the 40s.
Okay.
And maybe early 50s, but most of it was in the early 40s. And then we began to get a little machinery on that was picked cotton, and you know, that slowed it down.
So if you, okay, who was the person that you went to? I'm kind of backing up here, but who was the person that you went to and said, okay, I need Mexicans to come and work on the farm?
Well, we had a kind of an association in the county that handled that for us. You know, if we had, a deal that handled, if you wanted 10 workers or whatever,
And they just took care of it.
Yeah,
you just said,
right,
I need X number of workers,
yeah,
and they would take care of it. Was there a minimum wage that you had to pay them?
Well, yes, we had to pay them at that time, whatever. I don't remember exactly what the going figure was, but we paid them, you know, average wage. You know, they were paid as good as anybody else. Everybody, I guess, did, because they would be very unhappy if you didn't. They'd find out, you know, from there.
they would know if you're not getting.
Oh yeah, word gets around, you know.
But they wouldn't have any choice if they came to you, and they're working just for you. Could they move to another farm if that was it? They were with you.
As long as you need.
Did the government come and check on you to make sure that everything was?
Well, yeah, we had some. They checked on us. They came to see about the facilities, the living facilities. So if it was kind of, we had a standard kind of that they had to go by, and they checked on that and to be sure that you had, you know, facilities that were equal to whatever the others were at that time.
And this was the American government? Did they have a Mexican representative or anybody?
Yeah, you always had one with them. They had a Mexican rep with them.
Kind of early unionization.
Yeah.
This is a kind of a leading question. What would you say was a bad memory of the Mexicans, your employing Mexican labor?
Well, I don't know whether I had any bad memories. Most of the problem was that you had to take them to town and wait on them and do that kind of thing for them. Because they were dependent on you to get for your transportation and that stuff, you know. So I didn't have any bad memories that I know of.
Okay. Then, on conversely, what about good memories? Did you become friends particularly with any of them?
Well, you got where there was usually one or two in the group that, you know, was always friendly and, you had one or two in the bunch that wanted to be friends with you, of course, close, and do what they could to make you happy. And it worked out, I think, all right. I never heard of anybody having any bad problems unless you get one that didn't work, you know, like I said. And that would be, happen occasionally.
And then you would just fire them and?
Yeah, just send them back. Just tell the association that you were dealing with in the county that you had one here that's not working, I'm going to send him over to you. You send him back. And of course, like I say, we'd have to pay for the bus back.
Okay. So you would actually send them to the association offices, and then they would take care, even though you were paying for the bus fare and everything. Okay.
Yeah.
And your association offices, they were in Hughes?
No, Park City.
Okay.
County. Yeah. They were. It was through the county.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay,
yeah.
I got you. So it was a county thing. And
yeah, it was through St. Francis County.
But
extension office, or, you know, more or less.
It's interesting, I think, because you have this, you had your sharecroppers, your which I'm guessing, you know, black and white, but your blacks are moving north.
Yeah.
You are then almost reliant on your Mexican labor.
Yeah.
And you're getting day labor from Memphis as well.
Yeah, during harvest time, more or less.
And harvest time was when?
More or less harvest time.
And what period of the year was harvest time?
Well, be October, September, maybe. Part of September, October, November. But September and October was your main months that you could use them out of Memphis. Now, we did at one time during the year, if we got trouble, we used to use a few hoe hands out of Memphis. And, you know, during that time we'd have a few, but that's
And while they were living on your farm, they would prepare their own food and
yeah, right.
I know it's going to sound silly, but do you know what they cooked?
Yeah, well, as such.
I don't know, you know.
Well, here's an example. There's tall sand cans of sardines.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're familiar with it.
No.
But it was, you know, regular can of sardines. But it wasn't a flat sardine like you're thinking about, you know, but it was a tall can. And they really ate a lot of those. They'd take it to the field with them, build them a little fire, and warm up, open it up that can, warm it up a little bit if they wanted to, you know. That happened a lot. But they ate a many a can of sardines. I know, we had a little country store at that time, and we sold that kind of stuff to them.
Really? Now, you had a country store. Was the store separate from the farm?
Or yeah.
So anybody could have gone into the
right,
store?
Yeah, we did. We depended on neighbors all around.
Okay. I just can't imagine sitting and eating a can of sardines. I'm sorry.
Well, like I say, it was very sometimes would be those flat sardines. Most of them was those tall cans, and they really liked them, I guess, because it was, you know, maybe something that they were used to, whatever, I don't know. But they really went for them.
Did you ever eat them with them?
No.
So tell me a little bit about the store that you had.
Well, it was just a regular country, it really was a country mercantile store. We had it, and did a lot of business at it, you know, because until the people began to leave and go, like I say, to go up north, we had a store that would do maybe on, I don't know, pretty good business on weekend or once a month when they furnish it, you know, and whenever they got the ones that were stable and sharecroppers that had, when they got the crop out and got settlement for it, well, most of them back then would buy barrels of flour, cans of lard, and you know, that kind of staple stuff that would do them on over into the year. That would, a lot of them depended on that. The ones that were any good much, you know, would do that. They would prepare for that next year.
Right. Now, did the Mexicans use the store in the same way?
They just buy, you know, stuff that they needed at that time. They didn't buy many staples much, you know.
Okay. And other than sardines, what else did you sell?
Well, we had other canned goods, you know, that they liked to eat. Many other type of canned goods that they like, or, you know.
Okay. So you sold everything, I guess, from clothes to stuff that they would need to work the land with, to food. Who ran the store? You ran it personally, or did you employ someone?
My mother ran it.
Okay.
And of course, I helped her on the weekend. She would run it during the week, you know, because there wasn't much going on.
Right.
Then on the weekends, whenever they came in and at the business, and when they got the money, they would come to the store to buy groceries for the next week or whatever. And, of course, I helped them. Sometimes we'd have to have somebody else. Sometimes it'd be two or three or four employees in there.
Really?
Yeah.
White or black? Your employees in the store?
Mostly white.
Mostly white.
Yeah.
Okay.
So many of the blacks were not, you know, capable of doing much of that kind of thing. If you had one. Now, we used some blacks. I had one, well, I remember two old black men that worked for us that delivered. We delivered groceries if they bought a, like a barrel of flour or something. And they didn't have, most of them didn't have transportation. We'd take the groceries home for them. And we used black people for that.
Okay. It's fascinating. To me, it is. It's just this how the whole operation worked. When did you start to recognize?
Well, probably more so in the 60s, more or less in the 60s, but I'm not sure because we did some in the 50s, but we got pretty well recognized by the end of the 60s.
And was mechanization a good thing or a bad thing?
Pardon?
Was mechanization a good thing
or a bad thing? It was a bad thing for the labor because they had to find something else to do. And like I say, most of them brought a lot of it along by leaving here, you know, and going up where there were jobs for them in war, you know, especially when the war came along, and a lot of them went up there and did well, came back here, you know, and you'd visit you know. You'd always look forward to seeing some of them on, they want to come back here and show out a little bit about Thanksgiving or Christmas, you know. Maybe they'd have a new automobile or something. And, they, you know, the ones that were okay people, that, you know.
I think that's, it must have been, I guess, you know, for the labor, it's obviously going to be hard. All of a sudden, they don't have an income.
Well, you mean whenever mechanization came in?
Yeah.
Well, a lot of them brought that on themselves.
Why?
Because, like I say, they wanted to do better, which is great, and they went up looking for jobs, which was there for them, especially during the war, when the war was coming along, and there was plenty of work for them to do up there.
Yeah.
Get them a good job.
So by the time the war's over and everything, you're starting to think of ways to. Just as an aside, do you remember perhaps an amusing, a funny story with your Mexican labor, or one thing that perhaps stands out in your memory as something very good, and one thing that stands out in your memory as very bad?
Couple that we had some problems with that when they went to town, they wanted to get overloaded, you know, a little bit, cause problems for us. Said, well, we boys, we ready to go home, you know, get in the truck, let's go. And you'd always have a couple probably that would be pretty well loaded and say, I ain't ready to go, you know, how that goes. And we had some that kind of problem, you know. And we had two that I remember one time, and we had to get pretty raunchy. We had to get them in the truck, and they wanted to get back at us, you know. When we told them, come on now, we're going. I ain't ready to go. And you didn't want to leave them because you, more or less, you were responsible for them, you know, felt that way. And so, you know, what had happened to them, if not knowing where, what's going on. So, that's, we had, like I said, I remember two of them one time, one Saturday night, we had. They wanted to jump on us, and we had to get with them. You had to get pretty raunchy with them, make them get in the truck.
You say us. It was you and somebody else?
Yeah, somebody else on the farm, another white fella or somebody, you know, you to go with you. Or maybe a colored fella. Sometimes it'd be a colored fella go with you up there and take the time.
So these Mexicans got drunk?
Oh, yeah. They like to carouse and roof around. They're bad about that, you know.
Was Hughes really such a hotbed of...
Yeah. Cuban. Cuban,
no problem.
Yellow. Well, yeah, he's... Of course, wound up probably in agriculture sometime. His daddy is works for United Foods up in Tennessee.
Do you still have your land?
Yeah.
Okay. That was just an aside. I was just curious. So you would actually have to wrestle these drunk Mexicans into the.
Sometimes we'd have time with some of them. They'd get kind of aggravating. They, you know, want to do what they, how they want to do. They'd get drunk just like anybody else, you know. Get tough with you.
What was the entertainment in Hughes? What was the attraction? Were there clubs or pools?
Yeah, the black clubs, several of them. Down there's a used to be a railroad going through Hughes,
uh-huh.
And facing that railroad going down toward Mariana was where most of the black area was, and there'd always be some houses and, you know, black women looking to make that money. Yeah, they had plenty of entertainment, ones that wanted it.
And the Mexicans would go to the black clubs.
Yeah, they did.
So obviously they got on sort of okay.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Well, we had a few still got one or two lives around. He was there that married Mexicans married black women.
Oh, the Mexicans married black women?
Mm-hmm. Huh. Yeah, we still got, I think, right offhand, too.
Really?
That still live there.
Huh. And the two that you're thinking of, did they work for you?
Not for me, but they did for a neighboring farm.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's amazing. It'd be great to be able to talk to them at some time for definite. That would be interesting. I find it hard to imagine Hughes as such a hotbed of...
Well, it was back then that time, there was on weekends, Hughes was a lot of people. A lot of people went to town on Saturday night. And it'd be hard to walk down the street, you know, sometimes during the weekend. But there was always a bunch come in there. And like I say, we had four doctors in that little place at one time. And they're always on Saturday night busy sewing up somebody. Always that kind of stuff going on, you know. As busy as they could be.
That's funny. That really is. Well, Mr. Ashworth, thank you so much for your time.
Well,
I really do appreciate it.
I hope you
it.
Got a little bit of benefit out of it.
I think so. I'm sure it will open up a million other questions as people listen to this.
Yeah, well, you know, you don't think of them offhand, but if you had some, like I say, I'd try to answer what you had.